Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ready for the interview, and if you get a cue live on a laptop, watch what I'm gonna do. Welcome to the show, let them know we got a point of view. Hey, yo, let's have a combo. Say what you feel, be real, that's the motto. Real talk pronto, Dr. D, PhD, hit an intro. Hold up, wait, gotta be social. Network global, a home for the local. Gotta be social. Network global, a home for the local.
There we go. Here with Megan Hansen. Megan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Actually, you know, I was thinking about this conversation yesterday specifically because I was watching on Hulu this Age of the Influencer. And that's a good series. Have you heard of this?
No, I haven't.
It's crazy, actually. There's like 6 or 7 episodes. It's all like online scams and craziness. And one was like, of course, like a health and wellness scam. And it was like a diet and stuff like that. And so
there's
I was like,
a lot of those out there.
There's a lot of those. And I kind of wanted to open as like, how do you wade through this kind of time in life we are with working with people in terms of their nutrition and their approach to food with all of the information that is can be very crazy out there?
Well, So when people come into my world, I ask them, number one, first, let's just table everything. Let's just put everything on a shelf that you have learned and that you have been influenced by. And we're just going to leave it over here for now. And we're going to talk about your body. And we're going to talk about We're going to talk about how it works. We're going to talk about your metabolism, your biology. And let's just start there. Like all these external things, the diets, the different products, the supplements, you know, even the exercise, whatever, like we're just everything that you think, you know, we're going to leave it on a shelf and you can take off whatever you leave on that shelf. You can take off again and you can bring it back in, but we're going to leave it over here for a minute because I want to talk to you about how your body actually works. And, you know, really I like to just take people kind of through the basics of, well, here's protein. Here's carbohydrates, here's fat. These are the 3 macronutrients that we eat every day, what they do in the body. And not just that, I mean, it's not just about food, you know, it's about our body and I work primarily, just FYI, I work primarily with people who are wanting to lose weight. So I'm kind of coming from that lens, but
sure.
How does your metabolism work? And what is impacting it on a daily basis, which is actually more than just food. So it's like taking them through that and taking them through the science, because I think the main problem, the way that I see it anyways, the main problem with the diet industry and you know, all this information that we have flying at us is none of it is really teaching us anything. Hmm. It's not teaching us about our bodies. It's teaching us maybe how to lose weight, you know, how to lose 10 pounds in 10 days or whatever, but that's not really teaching you anything. You're probably going to gain that weight back. You know, it's not sustainable. So like, what can we do to actually learn more about ourselves? And I think like, you know, personalized everything, personalized medicine, personalized, like we want everything to be personalized now. This is really big. And so for me, this is like, it's like teaching people personalized nutrition and allowing them to really take control of their health and really empowering them more than telling them what to do, you know?
So, yeah, well, let's dive in about metabolism. I mean, we'll talk about a lot of things, but this is, I would say, a topic I haven't talked a lot about when I talk to people in the nutritionist realm and whole thing. What are the misconceptions that people have about metabolism when they come to you?
I think just that metabolism is like how many calories I'm burning a day. And metabolism is, am I losing weight or not? You know, do I have a fast metabolism or do I have a slow metabolism? And a slow metabolism would indicate I can't lose weight. Like, you know, and that's drastically simplifying it, and it's actually not quite accurate. I actually think, I like to think of metabolism more as being efficient or inefficient, because everything that we consume, we break down, and you know, what we break our food down into goes into the rebuilding or repairing of cells in the body. And you know, I'm simplifying this a little bit, but that's really what it is. And so if whatever is left over at the end of the day, after we've consumed whatever we've consumed, and all this food has been broken down and it's gone in and it's rebuilt or repaired all these cells, if there's anything that's left over, then that has to go somewhere and it will be stored, probably as fat. And if, so really, if you can think of it that way, you're thinking of it as, is more, how efficient can my body use these calories? How efficient can it be? And if it's not being very efficient and it's not using those calories well, then it's going to have a lot that are left over. And maybe that's because you're just over consuming. Right? Right. And that can sure. certainly happen. But sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes the body is just not being efficient enough, and it's not utilizing the food that you're consuming. And, you know, this is when we start to run into issues with people that say, you know, I have a slow metabolism, when in reality, their metabolism is just not being efficient and using what they're putting inside of them. And of course, how can this happen? I mean, it's a number of ways. But one way that I see often is, especially with women, is that they are severely under eating. And if you think about it, I like to use this analogy of a car. Like, it's not the best analogy, but just stay with me. It's like if you get in a car and every single day you go through an entire tank of gas, because you drive around to different job sites. That's your job. You drive around to different job sites, you go through one tank of gas. All of a sudden there's a gas shortage and you're told you can only fill up 3/4 of the way every single day. So you're like, okay, well, what am I going to do? Am I going to go to all my job sites? Well, no, you're going to end up on the side of the road. That doesn't even make sense. You're going to have to adapt somehow. You're going to have to take shortcuts. You're going to have to say like, well, I'm only going to go to these job sites 3 days a week and these ones 2 days a week. You're going to have to talk to your boss. You're going to have to make adjustments. It's the same thing with your body. So if you're supposed to be eating 2,500 calories a day, but you're eating 1,500 because you're wanting to lose weight, that will work for a while. You know, you'll probably lose some weight. But after a while, the body's like, we need to pump blood. Like, we need to breathe. We need to, your liver, the liver needs to be working. You know, it's not just a matter of like fat loss and gain. It's our whole entire body uses the food that we put inside of it to function. So to keep functioning, it's going to have to downregulate a little bit. It's going to have to make adjustments. Yeah. And so that's oftentimes why, you know, if you're like, let's say you're doing a diet program and it's like, well, once you stop losing weight, it's time to reduce your calories more.
Right.
Well, that is making the problem even worse. And that often happens, of course, because your metabolism starts to just slow down. Your body starts to slow down.
Yeah. You know, I was just talking with a previous podcast here. It's about a totally different topic, but I think the same can apply, is that, you know, we often get people who maybe are very, you know, overzealous or really zealots for whatever it is, weight loss, metabolism, and they may come to someone who has a very strong background in it, but they just actually really don't know what they're saying.
Yeah.
And that is, I think, almost the most extreme versions of this thing, or is actually the least educated about these topics here. Even like, I would love for you to talk a little bit about metabolism over the course of a lifetime. And it just kind of lends itself to the whole slow, fast metabolism. Talk about kind of maybe the science behind metabolism as you age.
Yeah. I was getting my hair done yesterday and I was with a woman who was, I think she was like in her maybe upper 20s. And she was saying, you know, she's like, well, my doctor just told me that my, you know, I'm getting older. My metabolism is slowing down. And I was like, oh my God.
That's crazy to say, actually.
I'm like, but it's not the first time I've heard that. Yeah. And, you know, and it's actually, we're laughing, but it's not funny because you have women that are going to their doctor and saying like, I can't lose weight. And they're like, well, you know, you're just getting older. This just happens. And it's like, I'm 28 years old. Like, what are you talking about? You know, your metabolism actually, so it's interesting. It doesn't change much for many years, probably, you know, at least until you hit menopause, if not a little later. But here's what's important to know. Your metabolism is directly impacted by your muscle mass. So when we start to see like people in their 30s that are like, well, my metabolism is slowing down, is that because, you know, once we hit, I believe it's when we hit about age 30, every year we lose just like a little bit of muscle and then it starts to accelerate later on. So as you lose muscle, if you're not using it, you're losing it. If you're not working on building it, you're losing it. And so, yes, your metabolism can start to slow down at that point. In your early 30s, I mean, that's like really, it'll be really minor. But as we age, and especially again, you know, women, when they hit menopause, we experience a really accelerated muscle loss. We experience muscle loss at a really accelerated rate because of the hormonal changes happening.
Yeah.
So this is why, you know, I hate to say this because I don't want women listening to get discouraged who are going through menopause, because I'll come back to them in a second. But as you know, when you're even in your 30s and you're not thinking about the stuff and you're like, I'm young and I'm, it is so important to focus on that muscle and getting in the gym and lifting weights or doing something that is weight bearing, that is going to keep muscle on your body, because you want as much of that going into that phase of life as humanly possible.
Right.
Because it becomes really difficult to build muscle during menopause. You can maintain it and it is possible to build it, but it's just tough. You know, and so you want to at least get to the point where you're crossing over there and then you're maintaining it. But if you're already in menopause, I mean, the number one most important thing that you can be doing is attempting to put muscle on the body. And that's going to be through lifting weights and also eating an appropriate amount of protein, which, you know, in order to really trigger what we call muscle protein synthesis, which is what it sounds like, you got to be eating, you know, at least 30 grams at a meal. And as we age, it unfortunately, it increases. You know, people that are in their 80s should be eating considerably more protein probably than us even, you know, in our 30s. Yeah. And that often doesn't happen as people age and, you know, their appetite starts to decrease and they're losing muscle. So all of that to say, yes, metabolism does slow down as you age. A lot of it has to do with muscle loss. And so that's honestly kind of your golden ticket if you want to keep your metabolism up.
So funny, right? People are hearing so many messages. I want to center on something you said about the this person in their late 20s and what their doctor told them, which seems to be kind of indicative of kind of a larger issue is we tend to look to doctors as that they know all these things. Like, this is an expert in my whole body. They know all these things. So when they tell me this, they must be right about it. Can you talk a little bit about maybe where we're at with that and maybe some good advice related to that topic?
Yes. Well, you know, doctors, certainly when it comes to nutrition, you know, most of them will admit this, like they don't learn anything in school about nutrition. And I am finding more and more that there's many doctors that are just like, don't even ask me about it. And I love that, you know,
yeah, that's great. Actually,
please like refer your patients out. There's also plenty that don't, unfortunately. But even when it comes to weight loss, this is not a topic that they learn anything about. It is unfortunately something that they're faced with every day with the majority of their patients, but there's just no training around, you know, sustainable weight loss practices. They are typically very, you know, doctors are very cerebral. So they're like, okay, calories in, calories out. tell the patient to eat less calories and to exercise more. I mean, that's just how their brains work. And I think it works for other areas of medicine, but that doesn't work for weight because we're human beings.
That's right.
And we're, you know, we're emotional and we have thoughts around food and emotions around food. Like, you know, that none of that is taken into account. So, yeah, I mean, I could talk about why calories in, calories out don't really work all day, but, I think that's, you know, when you're going to a physician who is very oftentimes black or white in their thinking with medicine, it doesn't translate to weight loss. And so again, I'm going to go back to this. This is why when I talk to patients or clients in my practice, sure. clients, but that we just educate them. And it's not like, here, I'm telling you what to do. This is exactly what to do. You know, here's 1 through 5 of all the things that you have to go do to lose weight. It's, I want to teach you about your body so that you know, so that when you go to the doctor, when you go see another practitioner that tells you something, you can use discernment and say like, I don't know, that doesn't sound quite right based on what I know about my body. And you can take or leave what you need. And I just think, and it's not even like you have to come and see me. I mean, the internet can be a little bit of a scary place, but it can also be amazing. And there's so much information now to help us educate ourselves about not just our bodies, like about anything, you know, anything in our lives that allow us to be more autonomous. So that when we have these experts, which experts are amazing and they can help us in a lot of ways, but nobody knows everything. And certainly nobody knows everything about your body. So the more that you can get in tune with it, I think the better.
Most definitely. Let's broach the subject of, I think this is very relevant to today's time, weight loss and weight loss drugs, which are actually not weight loss drugs, but side effects of diabetes drugs as well, things like Ozempic, Wegovy. Tell me a little bit about how you maybe have been approached about this or discussed this with clients.
Yeah, I think people would be really surprised to hear me say that I'm not against them. You know, there's people that are super for it and love it. There's other people that are like, you know, this it's the devil. No, I think some of these drugs can be extremely helpful. I have seen them work in clients where there's nothing, like nothing else works. Like you know, you'll do everything and nothing works. But those drugs without, again, I'm going to go back to this, the education, you know, it's, I don't want to say they're worthless, but you're going to end up in the same place you did 17 times before this, when you were trying to lose weight and maybe took some off and then it came right back. You have to have that education along with it. And you really need to be working with someone and making sure that you have the appropriate dose. The doses that I'm seeing some people get that are far too large, and then they're barely eating anything because they have no appetite. Yeah. Well, because it's just so unregulated. You know, you can kind of like walk into a clinic now and just get shot up with a weight loss drug. Yeah. I mean, I live in Atlanta. There's quite a few here. And so without having that appropriate education and having, you know, I would recommend like a dietitian or a health coach working with you, making sure that you are eating enough calories to function and to make sure that your metabolism is, you know, staying, up, that you're not just like completely suppressing your metabolism so that when you go off the drug, you're, you know, you blow up. I would say that, you know, obviously making sure side effects are pretty severe in a lot of these drugs. I think only around like 50%, I may be wrong on that, but around 50% of people can even tolerate them. So obviously, of course, making sure that you're starting slow and that it's something that, you know, feels appropriate for you. It can cause a lot of nausea.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I think that it can be an okay thing as a backup plan, and along with education, but certainly not as a first option or a standalone. And I think that's what I'm seeing a lot is going in saying like, oh, you know, I want to lose 30 pounds. Okay, great. Here's a script. Here's a shot. Go home, or, you know, whatever it looks like. They all look a little bit differently, but that I am not seeing working. I am seeing it work alongside the education and having someone that people are working with.
That's interesting. It's a larger topic on diving deeper into the motivations for weight loss. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when someone uses that as their first option, I also very much understand that, because it kind of moves towards the human condition of like, hey, listen, I want the path of least resistance, which a lot of people function that way. A huge amount of people are like, hey, I don't want to have to do this work. You know, I just like make it happen quickly.
And, well, why would you not? Like, that sounds amazing.
I know, right? It does sound amazing, actually. It's like on like all levels, you know, yeah. It's like if there was another way to kind of literally bypass all the steps and it was safe, most people would never do the work. They would just go, well, why would I? I can get the same result doing less.
I know. And that probably works every once in a while, but I can tell you in this instance, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting. It kind of falls in line with the human condition for a lot of things. So I have sympathy for that. With it. But it's interesting. I wonder, these things, we get into these things and we don't necessarily understand what are the implications of long-term of doing these things. So I think there's some confusion on some of this stuff too, because it's, if people are taking, let's say, these substances, this drug, do we know currently what are some of the, I know it's fairly new, correct? It's like, what are some of the long-term, or at least what are some of the things we've seen that, can be detrimental to people when they're doing this on a long-term cycle?
Yeah, it's still fairly new. I don't think we know. And it's also extremely expensive. So it's, unless your insurance covers it, it oftentimes doesn't. It just depends, obviously. But it's not, what from what I've seen, it's not something that people. It's not something that the vast majority of people can just afford to be on for the rest of their life. So it does need to be something that is short term, that sort of kickstarts weight loss. But that's where problems come in, when you don't have the support and the education that comes along with it.
Yeah. What's your view of kind of the larger health and fitness and wellness industry as a professional, like the state of it? And like, where could we improve and get better, and as a larger industry?
I think again, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I think it's it really is that education piece and teaching people. You know, if you go into, let's say you're a personal trainer and you go into a session with a client, instead of just showing them, actually teaching them, like, hey, this is what we're going to do today, and this is why. Because I am saying this, and this is only coming from, this is just coming from experience and, you know, working with literally thousands of women now, there's something that just clicks when you have that understanding. I love this model. It's called the, Diltz's hierarchy of change model. Okay. So it's like at the bottom of the model is, it's essentially a pyramid that shows us how we change and how we implement change in our lives. And the bottom of it is like our environment and our behavior.
Are you ready to feel more energized, focused, and supported? Go to layeredsuperfood.com and add nourishing plant-based foods to fuel you from sunrise to sunset. Use our promo code Dr. D at checkout to save 15% off your purchase today. Is your dog on the Nom Nom food plan? My dog Aries is definitely on the Nom Nom food plan. He loves it when I get a Nom Nom package out the fridge. In fact, it's funny to watch him because his eyes light up. He gets really serious, like straight like an arrow. He literally loves his food. It makes me laugh. Nom Nom's food is full of fresh proteins your dog loves, the vitamins and nutrients they need to thrive. You can actually see proteins in vegetables, beef, chicken, pork, peas, carrots, kale, and more. You just tell them about your pup, age, breed, weight, allergies, protein preferences. They'll tailor a specific amount of individually packaged Nom Nom meals, send them straight to you, store the meals in the freezer till it's mealtime. And they'll give you specific instructions on how to transition your dog from foods like kibble to always fresh Nom Nom. So isn't it time to feel good about the food you're feeding your dog? Order Nom Nom today. Go to the referral link, which is in the show notes, and get 50% off your first order plus free shipping. Nom Nom comes with a money back guarantee. That means if your dog doesn't love fresh, delicious meals, Nom Nom will refund your first order. No fillers, no nonsense, just Nom Nom. I'm fascinated by kind of the behavioral aspects of it. And you were mentioning about, like, you know, just the behavior and just the environment. It was deeper than that, because you get excited in the beginning and then all of a sudden things change. So maybe just pick back up with that there.
Yeah. So when that happens, when you, and this, by the way, you can take this into any area of your life. This is not just about weight loss, but when you get really excited about something and you're like really gung-ho about it, and then it just kind of falls off, oftentimes it's because it's not something that, maybe it's not something that you actually know a lot about, or you've learned a lot about. It's not something that's really ingrained in you, or maybe it's not something that's a part of your identity. Maybe it's not something that's actually a part of your belief system. So if I'm a person who wants to lose 50 pounds, but I don't actually believe that I can do that, I have plenty of evidence for it. You know, yeah. I've tried to lose 50 pounds for years. If I don't actually know much at all about my body and how it works and my metabolism or anything about it, all I know is that I have to clean out my pantry and go work out 6 days a week. It's just not enough. And again, you know, you get excited for a couple of weeks and then you kind of fall off because it's not actually a part of who you are.
Yeah.
And so that's why I keep going back to this idea of teaching people. And again, like, this is even for trainers or anybody. It's not even just about weight loss. Like, anyone in the health and wellness industry, when you're working with someone, to really teach them, whether it's the science or just the why behind everything that you're teaching someone, because people actually want to know. They are actually curious. Even if they come to you and they say, just tell me what to do, they don't mean it. Don't listen to them. Because we as humans, we want to make our own decisions. And we're typically fairly rebellious against what others tell us to do, even if we say that we're not. And so we have to really have an understanding ourselves. So, like, you know, just a very simple example, like I said, of you're going in and you're working with the trainer and it's like, okay, we're going to do bench presses today. Okay. Why? Like, why do we do that? Why is it important? What muscles is it working out? Like, why do we focus on big muscle groups? Why do we do 6 reps instead of 15? Yeah. And because as you start to accumulate that knowledge, it starts to become more a part of you and who you are. And I think that's why, you know, for me and like my programs, like I truly believe that's why it has so much success, because these women, when they maybe don't see results in 2 weeks, or some of them, they may not see results for 3 or 4 months because they've been, you know, abusing their bodies for so long. And they may be older, and as we get older, our bodies are less flexible and adaptable, and it takes time.
Yeah.
But they stick with it and they stay there because they have that knowledge and they're like, okay, I know, even if I'm not losing the weight, I am certainly not doing anything that's harming myself. I'm feeling good at least. And then once they continue with that consistency, eventually they will start to see the results.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting, and you bring the fitness aspect of it, it's so interesting, kind of the lack of knowledge with this, like a lot of people who initially start with them. So, well, I'm not, now this is a whole other thing, like how consistent they are and the programming, but I'm not seeing a lot. And I have to say to people, it's like, well, you know, like first 8 to 12 weeks, is just a lot of neuromuscular changes, you know, and there's a lot of coordination that's changing. A lot of things inside of your body are really changing, the pathways and connections. You know, that's not exciting to people though. You know,
it's not.
Like, who gives a shit about that? It's like, you know, like, no. do I have more definition in my deltoids? But it's hard for people to wait. But the other part is kind of like, what happens when someone does explain something to you and it's just blatantly false for that? And the consumer having to wade through that. And like, is it actually real? You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's tough. I think it's important. And I don't know the answer to this. I'll just be honest. I don't know. It's obviously, it's really important to work with people that you trust, to talk to people who you really actually trust, get their recommendations. Word of mouth is, I think, the most, listen to your friends that you trust over Instagram ads.
I think that's a good,
that's a good one.
Thumb. Yeah. Anybody running ads? I run ads, but unfortunately anybody running ads, I would be somewhat skeptical of until you have further proof. I think that's the only thing I can really tell you.
Yeah. There's a lot to wade through because
I don't even think always that looking at, credentials, and obviously that is a good, looking for credentials is great. Sure. I think that's a good idea, but that doesn't always mean you're talking to someone who has your best interest in mind. An MD, I would not typically take advice for weight loss from an MD unless they were someone who, specialized in weight loss. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So this makes it this could be very difficult. It's like, I was going to ask you about the credentialing aspect, especially nutrition. Because there's lots of people who are working outside of their scope and providing nutrition advice. So how do, for the consumer, maybe, you tell them, hey, you always make sure this person has this credential and that credential. But a lot of people don't even understand credentialing.
No, they don't. And honestly, I hate to say this, but so I'm a dietitian, and what I learned in school is dramatically different from what I teach. And, I learned calories in, calories out. Okay. When I was a freshman or maybe sophomore, it doesn't matter. And I was doing my first medical nutrition therapy class. The very first thing we covered was weight loss. And we actually had to go home and, figure out how many calories we needed to eat. And we had to keep a food diary, and we had to put ourselves either on a maintenance or reduced calorie diet and, keep track of how many calories we were burning. And it actually, I talk about this in my book, but it actually, this whole project and this whole idea of like everything that we learned in school actually really spurred an eating disorder in me. But not just me. What I later learned was 50% maybe of our class, if not more, was struggling with this and struggling with disordered eating. And it's like, well, is that because a lot of people who struggle with eating go into a profession like that because they're obsessed with food? That's a possibility for sure.
Sure.
Is it also exacerbated by what we are learning? And we certainly never learned how to approach weight loss from the way that I teach it now. When I was in school, it was just very much a math equation. It was a calculation that you did. And it was here is your ideal body weight. This is how many calories you eat per day, severe reduced calorie diets. So, I don't know.
How long ago was that education?
That would have been, 15 years ago. Okay. So it was a while ago. And from what I'm hearing now, there's programs that are still teaching that way, and then there's programs that are not, which is great to hear. I think it depends on the program that you're in. But
it was interesting. You're talking about the reason why, certain people become a dietitian. That's also an interesting conversation too. Yeah. I mean, what was your reasoning for that? I mean, and talk about the larger aspect of that. Like you mentioned, is it, why become a dietitian? And is it about food, like this obsession with food, or is it something else?
Well, I think we become dietitians because we do want to help people. We see the value in nutrition and food and helping people live longer, healthier lives. I think especially at this point in 2023, no one's arguing that. Like that's dietetics, the field of dietetics has become really important in that sense. But I think, when I think about it, like when I was 18 or whatever, when I was 18 and made the decision, I mainly was just, I would say now when I look back, I was obsessed with food. What happened was when I was in high school, I was an athlete. And I wanted to get better at my sport. I had a goal. And so I started reading Fitness Magazine. And what I saw in Fitness Magazine was actually surprising. I'm like, this is like half nutrition content. Like I didn't know that had to do with anything, performance. And I started changing my diet. And I I directly felt the effects. I was like, oh my gosh, when I eat like crap over the weekend, I feel like crap at practice on Monday morning. When I eat well, I feel good. And so I started making these connections and I got obsessed with it. I don't think necessarily in a really, bad way, but now I can kind of see like, I was probably going overboard with how obsessed I was with this. And I thought, this is really cool. I want to keep studying. I want to learn more. So then I went into the profession and I, continued my obsession to the point of, eventually becoming bulimic and having like this just horrendous relationship with food for 5 years until I was, obviously I eventually turned it around. And a lot of that's why I stand here today and I teach and I help people the way that I do because I don't want anyone else to have to experience that. But yeah, I mean, that is why I went into the profession. There's no doubt.
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting, I've known a lot of registered dietitians in my time. And this is just my observation. I have no clue about this in terms of statistics, but it seems to be overwhelmingly female dominated, the profession. Yes. Can you speak to that? Why maybe that is a reason why that is?
That is an interesting question. I mean, is it because females tend to have more, we are more focused on our bodies and the way that we look and, especially at a young age. So like at that age when we would be going into college.
Yeah.
Because I don't necessarily know that. I know plenty of men that are really interested in health and wellness and nutrition, and I did in college too, but none of them became dietitians. So that's a really good question. And I do wonder if that's part of it.
Skewed heavily, skewed heavily.
I'll even admit when I see a male dietitian, I kind of think like, oh, that's weird. It's not obviously, but we can't help it. I had maybe one in my class, my whole, there was maybe one.
Right. I took many nutrition classes in college and a master's degree. And like, I was one of the only people in there that was a male.
Yeah.
Why
is nursing more? And it's not as skewed. I don't think, I think dietitians are even more so, but. Yeah.
But if you see a male RN, it's like, oh, that's different.
Yeah. Is it because, like the doctor is seen as more of like the masculine in charge? And so when you see the nurses and the dietitians, because dietitians traditionally worked in hospitals, and they still do, of course, but there's so many more of us now. So like anybody that's not the doctor is not like the person who's in charge. And so it's like the less masculine role. I don't know. We could probably come up with all kinds of theories about this.
It's a great topic of conversation because I don't see anyone talking about this much.
It's true. No one does.
Right. Well, like, was there a research article or something? Whoever listens to this, like it was a lot of fitness people listen to this and nutrition. And I tag a lot of people. I would like to know, is there research out there that kind of delves into this? And what are the origins of this? Because it is like, it's like a tsunami wave, like difference. I would bet the percentage is so skewed. It's unbelievable.
Like 99.1.
Exactly.
I know. Yeah. I actually have a male follower who's a dietitian. And after this call, I want to message him and be like, hey, what do you think about this?
Like, why'd you do it? Like how? Did you do it? Because you would think like, if you're not seeing a lot of other males get into it, like, I don't know, maybe that what a lot of females see other females getting to. I don't know, but there's something there maybe with how people view themselves. And because it seems to be just overwhelmingly female dominated. And then you start looking at, well, why is this something like women were pushed into? I mean, I don't know that. Or is it just kind of like, is there more of an obsession on this aspect of things?
Well, and at this point it is seen as a more feminine job. So I think that is probably adding to they're not, men not going into the role, but like, how did that start?
How did that start? I'm serious. I'm very serious about this. I'm like, I want to know how this started because it has certainly been perpetuated through a pretty long time. I mean, it is, I have met a few male registered dietitians, but I would say they are like, well, way far and few in between for that. So anyone out there, we want to know about this because it's kind of perplexing. You know, because I always know it's like I was a track and field athlete in college. And I know that looking back on it now, man, we had a lot of female athletes who were suffering tremendously from disordered eating. You know, we didn't really, this was in the 90s, late 90s. This was not a huge discussion back then, but it was like, it was pretty obvious.
Like
thinking about it, you know, and I never saw that kind of reciprocated on the male side with it.
You don't.
You know? So I was curious about that too, and athletics and women, and how much of that is honestly, you know, coaches and things really pushing women in that direction, you know?
Yeah. Just coaches, society in general. And I think it's gosh, I don't know. It seems like it's getting better. You know, we don't, in the media, we're not having as much of an obsession with being thin, but I would be really curious to see if that is actually having an impact on people. I don't know. Like, is that actually impacting, you know, the teenagers that are athletes or college athletes or, no, I don't know.
Well, speaking to your point about metabolism and external resistance, that seems to be a much larger or more open-minded aspect. Especially for women, strength training has become very popular, at least online.
At least online.
I'm going to put that caveat, at least online. It has.
I know, because I talk about it all the time, and I'm always so surprised. I'm like, everybody knows strength training, and there's still like so many women that are just like, what, strength training? No, like I don't want to lift a weight. Like, you know, so it's at least online.
At least online, it seems like that there's just a large movement towards that. But it sounds like what you're saying is, well, not necessarily in everyday life.
It's better than it was.
Yeah, I would say so. But then there's like, and then it's interesting, like we can't be moderate about anything, I feel like. This feels like it's also part of the human conditions. Like, it's like we're not, we just can't be moderate. It's like we can't go, I'm going to step into this and kind of have some caution. It's like, no, I'm going to step into this and be completely obsessed with it.
Yep.
And then project that obsession to other people, you know?
I mean, I get that. Like, that's my personality. But I have self-awareness and I rein it in, but I get it, you know?
You're going all in. Yeah. You're like, I'm boom, 100%, right?
And it's served me in a lot of ways. It has certainly served me in my profession. But it certainly never did serve me with my health, you know, many years ago. I actually just got off a call right before this. Mm-hmm. I ran a workshop and it was with my my monthly membership. And we were talking about how we were setting up our summer, basically. Yeah. Like, what were we going to do to have a feel good summer? Okay. And we did this whole exercise. And at the end, it was really coming down to kind of like, what is your domino area goal that would, if you achieved this, it would kind of bleed into these other goals that you have. I think for like a good example, I think for this is sleep. Like if you're a really poor sleeper, I promise you, if you're a really poor sleeper, you're overeating, you're eating food that you don't want to be eating, you're not moving as much, your stress is much higher, like you name it. These are all your problems. Okay. So that's a great domino goal. And then kind of like breaking down how we're going to attack this during the summer. And we get through it and everybody's excited, you know, but then I get one woman who says, you know, I get this and I want to do it so bad, it's like, but I can't help myself. I just want to do all the things. And whenever I try to do all the things, like, you know, exercise and eat right and sleep right, blah, 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 she's like, I just end up failing. Like, and then as she said that, like more comments are coming in. They're like, me too, me too, me too, me too, me too, me too, me too. And I'm like, oh gosh, okay, we need to have another workshop.
Yeah.
But it's true. It's so hard. And you can even sit here and say like, I know it doesn't work. But you just can't help it, you know, and you got to like go all in and, you know, and, you know, I think part of that too, is that I always like to say that when you go on a diet, and I'm talking like a really highly restrictive diet, okay, and you see success that is one of the worst things that can happen to you when on in your, you know, weight loss journey.
Most definitely.
Because you did it once and it worked, and it didn't really work right long term, but you just keep going. Your brain just keeps saying, yep, let's do it again. Let's do it again. Let's do it again.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, I think that's where some of that comes from.
Yeah, I think so. It's just powerful stuff, because it's really breaking it down to kind of the essence of it. It's like, we're human beings.
Yeah.
And we struggle with our humanity big time. And you could know, you literally could know, this is not the best for me. And you're fighting it.
I don't know.
This mechanism that's like, no, but it did work though, even though I know it's bad.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It's an incredible thing to have to discuss with someone, to like go back and forth. And it's like, no, we're on the same page with this, but I know I just can't. Like,
Well, it's like drinking. It's like, this feels like a good idea. I know that it's never been a good idea before, but I feel like this time I'm gonna feel great. And then you're like,
no. It's amazing stuff. Well, listen, this is a fantastic conversation. Again, for listeners out there, please help us with this. Some of the big questions we've had here, especially with entry into being a registered dietitian and why it's so heavily female dominated. I would love for our listeners to really chime in on that. And I'll put that in as part of our posting too, especially on LinkedIn. Like, hey, I want to get some feedback, because actually I'm really curious.
I'm super curious about that. Not something I've ever thought of.
Yeah, maybe we'll get some very interesting feedback on that. So Megan, please let everyone know how they can connect with you and learn more about what you're up to.
Yeah, sure. So I'm primarily on Instagram. So you can find me there at megan.the.dietitian. And then, you know, my website, metabolismmakeover.co. I've got all kinds of good stuff on there as well. Yeah. But if you want to connect with me, find me on Instagram.
Perfect. Megan Hansen here. Awesome conversation. Megan, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.